think I heard on the way down, oh, she's getting to the good part. If you've seen the movie, that's the movie's Gladiator. And if you've seen the movie, then you know what comes next, which is the battle recreated Carthage. You know, the beautiful thing about the movie is, although it's not necessarily a true story, gladiators existed. It was a type of entertainment in Rome long ago. And I don't know about you, but, you know, there's always opportunity to interact, and how does God use things to apply them to our lives? And just after the scene that we were watching, you can actually, if you're interested in checking out the rest of that, if you haven't seen it, but you'll see that the men, some of them kind of fall out of place. They fall out of line. They're by themselves. And they don't make it. They get killed. And the way the battle is supposed to go is that what comes through the gates destroys the barbarian horde. But because these guys stuck together, they actually turned the tide and they won. And as we've been, if you've been with us the last few weeks, then you probably know we're in a battle. We're in a battle, and we're all part of it. Excuse me. We'll have to tighten that later. Jay's been doing a series on spiritual warfare. And if you haven't been around, you've missed some great stuff. We have some CDs that you can actually sign up for and get the series. It's a great series. Today, what we're talking about is community. I don't even really have a title except for what you see up here. This is Cornerstone Christian Fellowship in Christ, in community, in Lebanon. Well, what does that mean? And, you know, thinking about this clip from the movie, we are in this together. Are we living as though we're in this together? Dwayne, if you can advance the next slide. As many of you have figured out, I'm not Jay, and Ben, I think, had announced Jay's on vacation. I don't have the software that loads the cool little pointer thing to advance the slide, so I might be saying, next slide, please. Do you view, or do we view, dependency upon one another as being necessary to survival? Maybe some of us do, maybe some of us don't. I think a lot of it depends on our perspective. What's our perspective of community? Is it necessary? Do we need it? What is it? What does it look like? And really, in the day and age that we live in, unfortunately, even in our country, society and our culture pretty much emulate that, you know, community isn't really important. I mean, everything that's thrown at us is, well, it's about taking care of me. I mean, I got to build my own personal empire. I've shared this with a few of you. My wife and I, kids coming back from Ohio on Christmas vacation, and we had just gotten the house that we're living in now, and never been a homeowner before. So some of you maybe can remember back to those days, and if you haven't owned a home yet, you have a whole lot to look forward to. But I was just thinking about, all right, well, what's it going to take for me to be able to take care of the things around the house? And some of you guys might enjoy Home Depot. Home Depot had a sale on a miter saw, like knocked $50 off of it. So it was a pretty nice discount, and I had been watching it for a while. So, you know, I went and picked it up, and on the way back from our trip to Ohio, I was thinking to myself, now why is it that I have to like get all these things in place? Like I feel like I have to, you know, take care of all these things, and I have to have everything to do that. And if you're not a part of a small group, I'm using small group as an example because that's my experience. If I look at my small group in particular, there's at least three guys in the small group I'm a part of who probably could, well, maybe one or two of them, but all of them together definitely could probably put Tim the Tool Man out of business. They have a ton of tools. And so when it comes to tools, why in the world wouldn't I just, you know, well, the middle one on the previous slide, which Dwayne, don't worry about moving it, but community. Why wouldn't I think to go to them, to ask them? I mean, that's a way of inviting them in and me into their lives. And why is it that our perspective is what society throws at us? That, you know, we have to be an island unto ourselves. So our culture is talking about individualism. We look at commercials trying to appeal to what's for sale and being selfish and wanting to get. Another important thing as far as our picture of community, and again, this is just from, I did look at a few models of biblical family. If you go all the way back into the Old Testament, some of you are familiar with, a lot larger families, actually traveled in tribes, clans. As that moved, as the Old Testament moved into the New Testament time, it shrank. Even by the time of, you look at what's recorded in Scripture of Joseph and Mary when they travel, it's just, it's them and Jesus. There is actually a time in Scripture where they're traveling and Jesus kind of he's like somewhere. They're not really sure where he is. They were caravanning then, which was with kinsmen or people they were related with. And Jesus was just kind of hanging out as a child, he's just kind of hanging out with these people, and it wasn't until the third day that they actually got kind of worked up about it. Like, okay, where's he at? Now today, you could probably go into Walmart, and if you didn't come out, with your kid, like, whoa, something's not good here. Where's my kid? Could you even imagine? I mean, actually, I saw a pretty cool picture of this this morning. Part of community is that we're taking care of each other. It's pictured in Scripture, and down front here, I saw, maybe some of you saw it, there's a little bit of sword fighting with the banners, the flags this morning. And, I'm pretty sure that the parents weren't sitting right up front, but the people who were sitting up front cared for the kids. It's a picture of community. You know what I've heard a lot of, though? Yeah, it's not really my place. Yeah, I really don't want to offend the parent, or, I just shouldn't step in here. But that's what God's asking us to do, to be part of community. And the family picture today, of course, is, well, we can probably all take a look around the room. Someone said that I coined this, so I'll go ahead and use it. We all have our dysfunctions. We all have family dysfunctionality. And looking at our family structure today, I mean, even compared to New Testament times, our families are broken, so our perspective of family, we're probably bringing that into our relationships. You're thinking about my relationship with my dad, if I can use that as an example. And some of you actually just heard my testimony. Actually, it was Leonard's small group on Wednesday night. I shared a little bit about that. My dad was kind of not present in my life. I mean, he worked. He would do things with me, but it was pretty much just to get me out of the house so I wouldn't bother my mom, because I guess I was a terror. At least they always remind me that, so thank God he's done what he's done. But my father wasn't very present. And so if my image of God, if my image of relationships is what my experience was with my family, and I carry that out to my relationships with other people, what does that mean? What does that mean as far as how I relate? What does that mean in how you relate? Dwayne, if you can advance to the next slide. I want to look at a couple of scripture verses. So if you have your Bibles, turn with to, you might have a different translation, that's fine, John 15:5. And while you're turning there, this would be a great, can take a little pause for a moment. The clip that I showed from Gladiator, if you even interacted with that piece at all, you might have caught the gist of what was said by the lead gladiator, Russell Crowe, the actor. He said, if we're going to survive what comes out of those gates, we've got to do this together. Well, opportunity for community on a Sunday sometimes doesn't always happen. And so we're actually going to be shortly getting into groups of about six to eight. So I'm giving you some mental preparation. And the whole transition with turning in your Bibles is because as you get into small groups, the way this is going to work is you need to find a small group with someone, at least one person, has a Bible this morning. Okay, so if you didn't bring one, you'll need to find someone who's got one. And if you have a Bible, your role, of course, is to look for someone who might not have one and get hooked up with them. That's coming down the road. So what does Scripture say about community, about us as individuals, as Christians, if we know Christ? John 15:5. You can see it up on the screen, I think. Yes, if you don't have a Bible. I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so in this passage of Scripture, We're actually described as branches. I mean, maybe you've been paid higher compliments. I don't know. But think of the imagery. The vine and the branches. We're all tapped into a main source. We're, as far as biology and science goes, you know, those branches that are bearing fruit, they have to get the nutrients, the water from the vine that goes out to the branches. And the other piece of that picture is that if we're connected into the vine, like the other branches, we're connected with each other. Although I think a lot of times today, in a lot of churches, and I think we can include Cornerstone, is that we're not really looking at a vine with a lot of branches. We're looking at a lot of like individual potted plants. And we're not all connected together. Next slide, Dwayne. Turn over to 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. What does the scripture, how does this apply to us? What does this mean to us? Well, it means that our love for God is actually revealed through our love for each other. And what does that mean to love each other? I mean, there's definitely probably been a lot of opportunities to, you know, to complain, to, and this is one that has actually popped up in my mind. This happened like weeks ago, and it can relate to a lot of different things. I don't know that I'm really thinking of any one thing in particular, but think of a family. Okay, think of probably what most people would slide into as general roles. There's a family, mother, father, some kids, and the family's at home, mom's away, it's getting late. Unfortunately, dad has no idea how to cook. I'm sorry, dad. Mom's not there, the kids are young, they don't know how to cook either, and they're waiting for dinner. What family is going to sit there and complain about the fact that mom's not home, that we don't have anything to eat, and just gripe, not do anything? What family's going to do that? I mean, don't you think at least, maybe if they didn't know how to cook, they'd at least like start trying to find their mom? Like looking for her? Where you at? Where you been? Or maybe they'll take a big risk and pull out the box of macaroni and hot dogs and whip up a gourmet meal on paper plates. You know, this is the, although it seems, maybe it does seem kind of like simple or you know, mundane, but this is the picture of, in thinking about loving each other. Sometimes we don't often jump to the love. We don't jump to having grace on each other. We don't jump to having mercy with one another. We jump to griping instead of going after each other in love and loving one another to Christ as Christ did with the disciples. That was his role, pointing the disciples to Jesus. Pointing the disciples to his Father, excuse me. Two more verses I want to take a look at, and then I'm going to put a quote up on the screen. So, Dwayne, if you can advance, should be 1 Corinthians 12:26. If you have your Bibles, you go ahead and turn to that. We'll give you a second to turn there if you're reading along in your Bibles. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This was, and I didn't realize this until actually after I was reading this scripture. I worked at a camp in Ohio quite a few years ago. Probably would have been like around 12 years ago or something like that. And we had this program called the Challenge Program. And the Challenge Program was, it was an extra program where students, typically junior high school age, could get involved in things like you know, a ropes course, and there's a lot that went into that. It wasn't just doing the event, it was actually interacting with what you were doing, how you were responding to that, how you experienced it, how people might have been encouraging you or jeering you, that kind of thing. Well, this was the theme verse for that camp program. And one of the things that we did, which kind of painted a neat picture as far as thinking of when one suffers, all suffer; when one is honored, all are honored. We went on these horrendously long runs. And I know some of you in here are runners, and I respect you. And I've always wondered, are we when we run, are we running away from something, or are we running to something? That was totally a tangent, but what we would do is the slowest member would usually lead the pack of runners. And by the end of the week, we were doing four, I don't know how long it was. And you know, a lot of the students came into this didn't necessarily condition before they came. They just, you know, started running at the beginning of the week. It was only a week long. So as we were running, slowest runner would lead, but typically that runner would kind of fall back. And sometimes fall like way back, like to where the leader forgot to turn around and look. And so then what happens is they'd yell out, you know, circle up or loop up. And the whole group would turn around and run back and then run up behind the last runner, which of course for some of those in the front of the race or the run, you know, they're turning their 4 mile run into a little bit longer. But it paints a picture of community. It paints a picture of living out this verse. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Let me read that again. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I don't know how often we think of this, that, you know, we're not just individuals. Back to the picture of the branches and the vine. You know, we're part of one another. We're members of one another. Paul, he likens the church or the family of Christ to the body. And I didn't actually put the scripture passage up there, but if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body of Christ, thinking about the physical body. The body's made up of all different kinds of parts, of which each have their own roles. We're all gifted in certain ways. We're all talented in certain ways. And, you know, if like a piece of the body falls off, you know, like the hand falls off, or both hands, or an eye, the body doesn't function as well as it could. And I don't know that I was really planning on this question, but ask yourself this question. You don't have to answer this except just to think about it. You know, if you're sitting there as one of these body parts and you're not connected to the body, what does that mean for our body here at Cornerstone and for community? We are all necessary to function. I think that's the beauty of the picture, is that we're all needed. That passage even talks about what a lot of us would probably consider lesser parts. You know, a pinky toe. Maybe some of you adore your pinky toe. I don't know. Maybe you put a ring on it and that's why you like it. Whatever you would think of as a lesser part, Scripture says those are just as important as all the others. Dwayne, if you can advance to the next slide, please. That was quick. Living according to kingdom values requires Christians to place relationships higher than personal freedoms. And this comes out of a book, Where Do We Go From Here? Ralph Nabors is the author. If you're interested in the book, that's on page 241. Let me read it one more time. Think about it, because this is the first place you're going to actually participate in small groups together. And before I read it again, it's up on the screen so you can read it. It doesn't matter anyways. You know, we come to Cornerstone, or maybe you're from another church, you're visiting with us, or maybe you've gone to another church, you're relatively new with us. One of the things that I think about a lot, and I almost played it this morning, but I just thought, you know, I just don't think it's going to be that key to play it, but I'll tell you about it. If you've seen this movie Gladiator, the clip that I showed at the beginning, there's a scene, and I believe it's before they go to the Battle of Carthage in Rome, where Russell Crowe is fighting this gladiator that is just, I mean, this other gladiator is probably like six times as thick as me. And he's double-sworded. And Russell Crowe has one sword, and he's fighting this guy. It does, you know, goes through all the choreography and ends up sticking both the guy, he ends up getting one of his swords, sticks two swords one in each chest. And so, you know, this guy's pretty much finished. But the whole idea here is that, you know, the games, gladiator events, this is entertainment. And so Russell Crowe kind of walks around in a circle, looks up at the crowds, yanks the swords out of the guy's chest, comes across like this, and beheads him. Of course, I'm not going to show that on a Sunday morning. Why do I mention that? In thinking about this quote, living according to kingdom values requires Christians to place relationships higher than personal freedoms. We all come here. I don't know what your perspective is as far as your role here in the body of Christ. Maybe you come and it's a lot more comfortable for you to be a spectator. That's why I brought up that clip. Because Russell Crowe throws his sword in the ground, he spits and he screams, "Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?" We're not here for entertainment. If you've been with us the last few weeks, Jay's been talking about the battle. We're in battle right now. We're getting ready to launch an offensive. And we need each other. What I want you to do is, and this might require you to move, get out of comfort zones, talk with people you might not know. I just ask that you participate, even if what it means is, you know what, I'm not really sure where I'm at with that. Or, you know, it's probably going to take me a bit longer to think about it than just the time that there is this morning. But participate, interact, think about it. So go ahead and get up, look for groups of 6 to 8 people, circle up, make sure you have a Bible in your group, and Dwayne, if you can go to the next slide, here's what you're talking about. What is this statement communicating, the one that I just read? And the second part of that, what impact does or should this have on how I'm living today? All right, those are the two questions you're going to be asking. Groups of 6 to 8, go. All right, if I may draw your attention back up here, and you know what? You can just stay right where you are. I mean, don't worry about it. You don't even have to turn around if you don't want to. You're not missing much as far as what's up here. My wife was so kind, come up to me and say, "Do you know what time it is?" I do now. And you know what's wild is, I mean, the clip was only like 2 minutes long. So I don't know. It's pretty wild. So what I'm going to do is I made a slight adjustment because I actually had something else that I wanted everybody to visit in the small group format. We're going to change that, but I want to challenge you with just a couple of things, and I do want to close with a song. So actually, if the worship team would like to come up, we're going to sing Consuming Fire again, and you all can just hang out there for just a couple of minutes, but that way you're up here and ready. I was talking with one of the small group leaders this week, and it's actually a question that I've asked myself, but unsolicited, this person actually said these words, which is really wild, wild in a good way, God ordained, said that, you know, there must be more than this. There's more to life than this. And the beginning of this song, Consuming Fire, talks about that. And as we sing this in just a couple of minutes, I want each of us to make this our prayer. So, you know, however it's comfortable for you to pray, if you want to stand, if you want to kneel, close your eyes, you know, because it's not about what other people are looking at. It's about what's between you and the Lord. In closing this morning, I just want to encourage everybody with this. To think about, and I was talking with our fine security man out in the lobby out there, Clint, this morning. He's taking care of us. He's doing a good job, too, because he yelled at me for leaving the door open. Which it looks like I did again, sorry. Clint was talking to me, and he was asking me, you know, what's going on now? And I just said, well, what I wanted to do is have the small groups take a look at what are our roles and responsibilities with each other as believers. And small groups aside, I mean, most of you probably know that I'm here, the small group thing. I mean, leaders, you meet with me, those in my small group. I love it. I love relationships, being in relationship. As much as I love it, it's very challenging. It's very hard because there is sacrifice and it takes something to give. It's not always about getting. You know, there's as much giving too. But I want to challenge each of you to think about, well, what is my role, my responsibility to my brother, to my sister? Small groups aside, I certainly encourage you to get into a small group because that's where you can put it to practice. But that aside, just thinking of the body of Christ, what is that for you? And what I wanted to do, and Dwayne, if you can go forward the next slide, right there. This was what I wanted to have you talk about next, was just go through these one another passages, because I'm thinking about, well, what am I to do? What are my responsibilities? These are the one another passages, really clear. What I did is, instead of going through and reading these this morning together, there are copies. There's 50 on the right and 50 on the left on your way out. If you're interested in checking these out, which I really encourage you to, you know, use this part of your quiet time, your time with the Lord, and look at them and ask God, God, what are you asking me to do? Like, where am I missing the mark? Where am I excelling that I'm gifted and strengthened in these one another passages? Please just take one per family unit. If you don't get one, just see me. I'll make you a copy afterwards. I think I said we're going to close with Consuming Fire. So again, just want to encourage you. The time that we take in singing this song, you know, it's more than a song. It's a prayer. And a lot of times in coming to church, you can sit there and I don't know where you're coming from. I mean, I don't know what your night was last night. I don't know what your weekend was like. I don't know what your week was like. Sometimes it can be pretty distracting. Do you believe what God says? Do you believe what's in His Word? And when you come here, worshiping Him, being in community with one another, although most of the times we sit in a chair, maybe by somebody we know, maybe not, by ourselves, we're part of something bigger. Think of the picture of the branches. Think of the human body. We're all needed, and we need each other. And it's time to take a step forward because, you know, I don't know in your life what's coming out of those gates. Probably different for each of us, but corporately, you know, we are in a battle here for the community of Lebanon, the people here in the area, people who are coming in, people who are next door to you, people who you work with, maybe your family members. And if we're going to survive, it's going to take us working together. So let's finish in worship, and after we sing, I have a closing thought from it's actually the epistle from the elders of Cornerstone. Lord, we want that to be our prayer. We want you to have your way with us, recognizing, Lord, that change comes through your Spirit, which, Lord, we need to yield to. And God, we just ask that you fill us, give us that passion for you, Lord, a passion that spills over into our relationships. And God, as you did with the disciples and just pointing them to the Father. And we just pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close with this as our benediction, so if you'd all stand. And again, if you were not with us back in January, we had our Vision Sunday, and prior to that, the elders came together and wrote an epistle to Cornerstone. I'm just going to read a very small section, just about 5-6 lines. Believe God when He says He will do great things. Has He not given you each gifts? Then apply them in the measure they have been given. Pray that God will reveal your specific role in the kingdom. Remember how David, even with his many faults, was able to accomplish that which God had sent him to do. Are you not also sent to accomplish great things for God? Were you not born to such a time as this? Or do you believe God has made a mistake? I think not. So with passion born of the Holy Spirit, take what the Lord God has already claimed for Himself. Go with God and enjoy community.